Your Bibles to Romans chapter 3, very familiar verse. I was thinking about this. A man called me last night and asked me a question. Facebook Kathy, and I answered it through her because I don't talk on Facebook or whatever it is. But Romans chapter 3, now this is a very familiar verse. I've seen Bible classes empty on it. When I'm talking about, I've seen 30 people get up and leave on these verses. In Romans 3:10, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. Come on in, Fielding. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. How many? Now, you get to read the Old Testament, and the Lord talks about the righteous and the righteous. And how that the wicked go after the righteous. So we need to have an understanding about this righteousness, because there are righteous people in the world that do things righteously towards others, but that's not what he's talking about here. He said, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understand, there is none that seeketh after God. Romans 3:10, Fielding. Verse 11, there is none that understand, there is none that seeketh after God. They're all gone out of the way. They're together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Now, turn to Psalm 14 and compare this. And you're going to find that this doesn't say exactly what Paul says. So we have to search the Scriptures in this idea of righteousness. In Psalm 14, verse 1. I think my daughter got in an argument with somebody now at work. They said they were an agnostic. An agnostic's a real idiot. He doesn't believe in anything. That's what he says. But I'll guarantee you he'll pull out that dollar. In Psalm 14:1, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. What does God think about a person that doesn't believe there is no God? He's a fool. He said, there are corrupt. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good. The Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men, to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. They're all gone aside. They are all together become filthy. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Now, it doesn't talk about righteousness, yet this is a quote, the familiar quote of Romans 3. All right? Now, turn to Matthew chapter 3. And probably for me, I can get this. Oh, like I said, it's real simple. But if you put it on the board, say this is the beginning in the book of Genesis, and you go all the way over here to the book of Revelation, and let's say this would be mankind living on earth for a purpose. God created man to inhabit the earth that he had made. As God, in some, he looked down, and he would have to be from this point, from Genesis this away, to this point right here. He looked on man, and what did he say? They wasn't going to understand. Once Adam did what he did in Adam, then man is going to not be able to understand, and they're not going to do good, and they're not right with God. Okay? In Matthew chapter 3, the big question always was, why did Jesus get baptized? Well, in verse 13, then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? And Jesus answering said unto him, suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill what? Then why is he being baptized? Fulfilling all righteousness. It's part of his fulfillment of righteousness. Now, if you have a fulfillment of righteousness, how much is it? Full. It's full. I mean, that's real simple when you think about it. Fulfillment of all righteousness. So this fulfillment of righteousness is in one man. All right, now turn with me to Hebrews chapter 1. Now, if we put words up here, let's put it like the word righteous. And let's put the word righteousness. Okay? And we'll think about them in a minute. All right, Hebrews chapter 1. Look with me in verse 8. Well, let's go to 7. And of the angels, he saith, who maketh his angels spirits, and his ministers a flame of fire. And if you want to understand something about 1 Peter, that'd be 1 Peter would be a good reference. Jesus went and preached in prison to the what? Are you familiar with the verse? Hang on here just a minute. I'll show you something. In 1 Peter chapter 3. What is the concern of a person right before he gets saved? What's he afraid of? That his soul would go where? What happened to Jesus when he died? What went into hell? That's the scripture, isn't it? Acts chapter 2, I will not leave my soul in hell, right? 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, for Christ also has once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit, by which also he went and preached unto the not souls. You see that? Well, in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 7, and of the angels, he saith, who maketh his angels, said, who did he go preach to? Angels, the fallen angels.
Well, would that make a difference because spirits have a little letter?
They're fallen spirits, what they are. Your spirit will be a small s too. But the big spirit is the holy. If it's like Holy Spirit, it'll be a big S. Now, that isn't what I want, but I wanted you to see that. Now watch verse 8. But unto the Son, he saith, thy throne. Now what does he call Jesus? There was a man one time who said that God never called Jesus God. Well, I guess that verse doesn't exist, right? He said, oh God, is forever and ever. What's forever and ever? Thy throne. Now here's the key. A scepter of what? Is the scepter of thy kingdom. All right. The scepter is what I want to discuss here just for a second. The word scepter there has to do with, and there's several different words it's used for. It's used for staff and rod, and there is a measure involved. All right? Now, the righteousness in the verse, he says, a scepter of righteousness, that righteousness there is like total straightforwardness. Now, if you're straightforward, what do people think about you? If you're honest, you don't lie. You're straightforward with them. You shoot it to them straight, all right? Straightforwardness. That word righteous there is involved with straightforwardness. In other words, everything that Christ did was straightforward. It was in righteousness. It was straight down the line, and it all represented, he represented God on earth. God was in Christ reconciling the world. All right? In Hebrews chapter 11, turn with me since you're in Hebrews. This word scepter having to do with a staff. Look in Hebrews chapter 11. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. First, I want to apologize. Evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. The word, I'm missing it, is in the, why I'm missing this word, staff, having to do with, why am I not seeing it? The staff of Aaron. Well, go on with me. Turn with me to Revelation 2. I'll find it in a minute, probably lose my mind. In Revelation chapter 2, verse 27. Now, if you're curious why this terminology is used the way it is, And he shall rule them with a rod of what? Now, what's the difference between a rod of stick and a rod of iron? A rod of iron, as the vessels of potter, shall be broken to shivers. Now, potter's vessels are made out of clay. Right? Okay? Then the clay is going to be broken by a rod. Keep that in mind. Look in Revelation chapter 11. Now, this one is the interesting one to me. Verse 1, Revelation 11, 1. And there was given me a reed. Now, catch the next word. Like unto a what? And the angel stood, saying, rise. Okay. Whatever this thing is, and it says it's a reed and it's like a rod. My wife has yardsticks. You can have many different lengths. We call them foot, 3 foot, whatever. This reed is given, and it's likened to a rod. And he tells him to go out and do what? So it's going to do the measurement of what he's supposed to measure, the temple, right? Turn to 1 Corinthians 6. You're looking at me like I went crazy. You get thinking about this now. I want you to think. He's a scepter of righteousness. And a scepter is like a rod. It's like a staff. And by the way, what did Moses hold up to part the Red Sea?
A staff,
right? What did he throw down and it ate the two other rods? The rod. And, I mean, Pharaoh's... Thought they'd eat his up. Instead, Moses' rod ate them both. I mean, you know, if you've got the power and ability from the God of this world to do things, and somebody else has got more power, you're hurting. Right? I mean, if you got a man and he throws down a rod and it becomes a living snake, and you can throw down rods and they're a living snake, but then his eats yours, someone's pretty well sure of defeat, aren't they? Yes or no? I mean, folks, if a boxer gets the living crap beat out of him, it's pretty sure the other guy's better. Right? Football games, when somebody walks off and they got beat up and they lost, pretty well sure that day somebody was playing better than them. Well, that situation is that there is a measure, an instrument, a vessel that measures against us. I don't know if I'm making any sense to you. Folks, there was somebody lived on this world more righteous than you. He was better than you. He was more righteous than you. And he understood the Lord and believed in the Lord. He had more faith than you did. And he satisfied God. Now watch. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. What? Know ye not that you're the body, that your body is what? Now, when God looked down, what did he measure about you in Psalm 14? What did he judge about you in 14? A lady came by Thursday that I've known that's came here before, and she lives in another place now. And she's had a lot of problems. She's had drug problems, alcohol problems, other problems. And she came by to see me because her father had given her some of the CDs, and I hadn't seen her in a while. And she wanted to stop by and tell me that she thanked me. And then she said, Brother Jerry, I'm going to get baptized in a couple of weeks. I said, really? I was nice. I was very nice. But I told her as she was leaving, I said, why don't you read 1 Corinthians 1:17 and ask the Lord what that meant? Why would Christ not send Paul not to baptize? I mean, folks, the verse's got to mean something, don't it? Did he send the apostles out to baptize? And then all of a sudden you got a verse in there, Christ sent me not to. I said, ask the Lord, why didn't you want to send Paul to baptize? I said, if baptism saves, and it does in 1 Peter, then every person in Paul's ministry that he didn't baptize, and the only thing, he said, I baptized this guy and this guy, and if I baptize anymore, I'll be baptized in my own name. And that's what people are doing in their own name. He said, Christ sent me not to baptize. Then why is it that God isn't saving anybody in Paul's ministry? Did I miss you? If he sent him not to baptize, and it takes water baptism to save, and he sent him not to, then what's his ministry for? He said he sent him to preach the gospel. So the gospel must be the saving power of God. As Paul said in Romans 1, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Okay? In this passage, what know you not, your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you're not your own? For you're bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's. In other words, does He own your body whether you like it or not? And if He owns your body, how do I glorify Him? I trust Him. Now let's think about this. In the fact of look in Exodus. That might be a good one. Exodus chapter 16. I was thinking about this. I look back here, all things written before were written for our learning, so I read in Exodus 16, verse 1. I mean, we've got a serious delivery going about in Exodus. Are they exiting Egypt and going out of the wilderness to be able to worship God, to be able to do their sacrifices, and to be God's people? Yes. All right, verse 1. They took their journey from Elim, and all the congregation of the children of Israel came into the wilderness of Sin, curious, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after their departing out of the land of Egypt. And I want you to understand, every time you read that Old Testament, God does not ever fail to give you exact days and months. Show me the days and months in Paul's writings. He ain't going to give them to you. Show me the exact day when Christ was born. Show me the exact day when you're supposed to do the Lord's Supper. Show me the exact day when you're supposed to do this or do that. You know why it ain't in there? Because you ain't supposed to. I mean, He don't fail to give months and days, folks. Exact days. Exact months. What is the seventh month, tenth day? Day of Atonement. What is the first day, 14th? First month, 14th day. What's the first month, tenth day? That was when they would take the lamb up and look and observe on it. Till the first month, the 14th in the evening, and what would they do with it? They would kill it, take the blood for the Passover markings or remembrance, and then eat the lamb, right? On the 14th was the Passover. What was the first month, 15th day? Beginning of the Feast of Unleavened Bread Week. What was the first month, 21st day? End of the week. Are you with me, folks? They knew their days. And then if you're going to come to the Colossians, he said, don't let nobody judge you in meat or in drink, holy days, respect the new moons, Sabbath days, new moons. Uh-oh. What's today the representation of? A new moon. When I left Panama City last Tuesday, that was the biggest cotton picking moon I ever seen in my life. Hit me right in the face. I thought I was going to just drive into it. That's the biggest thing I ever seen. Well, the new moon. Well, right after the new moon is what? Let no man judge you in meat or in drink, respect the holy days, new moons, or Sabbath days. Okay? Let's read on. Now, in verse 2, let's see if this fits your peculiarity. And the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. What are they murmuring about? What is it they liked over in Egypt? Melons, leeks, onions, and garlic. They was a stinking bunch, wasn't they? But you know, them just don't go together for some reason. melons and leeks, onions and garlic. Oh, they're people, vampires or something? My goodness. Those four things are what they mentioned. That's mentioned. But now watch this. They've been brought out. Now, what was they doing from daylight to dark in Egypt? They were making brick and mortar and building this character memorials, cities, and tombs and whatever. And one day, God brought them out. He just brought them out there in an Exodus. Now, if he reached in there and they were alive, I'm trying to get a thought. If they're alive in Egypt, even though they're in bondage, what, is he going to bring them out to kill them? Then if he's bringing them out, what's he going to do? Amen. Then what's the use of murmuring? Are you with me, folks? If God saved you, keep your mouth shut. Quit your murmuring. Be happy like my wife. My wife laughs at everything. I reckon I've never seen any woman like her. I needed her. Because I'm the opposite. I'm the negative charge. She's the positive. Now what? And you know what? It's weird. My daughter is negative Mark positive. Susie and Greg, I don't know where their voltage is. It could go reverse at any time. Now think about this. In verse 2, the whole congregation, what did they do against Moses? Who brought them out? Moses and Aaron. Okay. Now verse 3, and the children of Israel said unto them, would to God we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by flesh pots, and we did eat bread to the full. Yeah, and you got up daylight, went to work till dark, and you couldn't go anywhere but Goshen. Your children, the second they're born, are in bondage. Your children, as soon as they're old enough, are going to be carrying mud pots, carrying brick, slime and mortar. Yes or no? You cannot worship your God. You cannot sacrifice animals. Egypt worshiped animals. You cannot do that. You cannot do anything. And yet you're sitting here, you're out in the wilderness, looking at the sky, enjoying the air, without working daylight to dark. You're just walking. And you're driving. Hello? And when we did eat bread to the full, for he, you brought us out forth, us forth into the wilderness to what? You brought us out to kill us. Well, he'd killed you in Egypt if he wanted to. Are you listening, folks? If God wanted you dead, you wouldn't have made it here today. You'd be alive. I mean, you'd be dead. And scared, what are you doing? We got somebody from Zydeco here. Actually made the trip. You ride your Harley. He made it from out of Sardis on a Harley. That's a miracle. No. Come on, folks. Quit the murmuring. Now watch. Then said the Lord unto Moses, behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather in a certain rate every day, that I may... Do what? Your life is a daily thing of this. They prove them whether they will walk in my law or no. When God saved you, he gave you the right to walk in good works. Ephesians 2:10. He didn't save you by good works of yours. He saved you and now you can walk in good works because you're in Christ. That's Ephesians 2:10. Now, it shall come to pass that on the sixth day they shall prepare that which they bring in, and it shall be twice as much as they gather daily. Now, you don't think anybody would break that, do you? You reckon he'd get out there and he'd say, My gosh, I've got to eat for today and tomorrow. And the buffet's here right now. Let's load up. And so they gathered too much. The only problem is, if they didn't eat it all, what did it do? It stunk. It stunk. You ever got things that you shouldn't have gotten that stunk? Huh? You ever got things and coveted a little bit too much and got too much more and it began to stink after a while? You ever bought a new car and that payment got you stinking? I'll just use an example, folks. You got a perfectly good running car. It's called Clunkers for Cash. And you say, well, I'll trade it in. And so a dealer jacked the price up to what he was giving you and finances you for 97 years. The biggest stink in America was the credit card. $5,000 if paid on minimum payment take you 23 years to pay it off. I wonder who's making money on that one. That stinks, folks. All right, now watch in verse 6. Moses and Aaron said unto all the children of Israel, at evening, then shall you know that I, the Lord, have brought you out from the land of Egypt. What's he gonna give them? Manna. And in the morning, then you shall see. Now this is what I want you to read with me. You shall see what? The glory of the Lord. For that he heareth your murmurings against the Lord. And what are we that you murmur against us? And Moses said, this shall be when the Lord shall give you in the evening flesh to eat and in the morning bread to the full. For that the Lord heareth your murmurings. He prophesied right there. What was the first thing that the Lord gave him? Well, what did they do after that? Have they been eating manna for a while? And healthy? Not getting sick? Walking in the wilderness? Walking to Jerusalem? They were not sick. And they said, this manna is becoming loathsome to us. We eat it day in and day out. We want meat. What did Moses say there? What came after their murmuring again? Quail. He gave them so much quail, they said it's coming out their nose. That's later. They murmured again. Why are they murmuring, folks? They're not working in bodies now. They're out in the wilderness, seeing all the glory of God in the heavens of creation and living and not under bondage and under the thumb of that Egyptian Pharaoh. And they're out there, and their children will no longer get up in the morning and have to make brick and slime and mortar. And they're walking along, and they can see the rivers and the streams, and they can see the trees and everything else. And they're walking along, and they say, we're sick of not getting the water, the right food we want. Where's Papa John's? Why is that? There is none good. Okay? Verse 8, the middle of it, for that the Lord heareth your murmurings, which you murmur against him. And what are we? Your murmurings are not against us, but against the Lord. Now, what are they doing? They're murmuring. Look in verse 8. He says, verse 9, I mean, Moses spake unto Aaron, saying to all the congregation of the children of Israel, come near before the Lord, for he hath heard your murmurings. And it came to pass, as Aaron spake unto the whole congregation of the children of Israel, that they looked toward the wilderness, and behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. Paul references a glory in the clouds one day. While you've been down here murmuring, God's been taking care of you. And one day, He's really going to take care of you. He's going to pull you out of here. 1 Thessalonians, we which are alive and may shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to be with the Lord, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. That's the truth that Paul wrote. Now, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and you understand in verse 8 it said, you shall see the glory. I want you to understand that. You shall see the glory. Turn 1 Corinthians 15. It says, the devil know that you'll never see the Lord through Peter. Sure he does. Peter will never get you to heaven because his message is not for the rapture, for being caught up. In 1 Corinthians 15, verse 3, for I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to Scripture, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to Scripture, and he was seen of Cephas. And remember, Paul's the only person who ever called him Cephas. Jesus said, thou wilt be called Cephas, and he knew what Paul would call him. Called him Cephas, then of the 12. After that he was seen about 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that he was seen of James, then of all the apostles. In other words, again, the apostles saw him again. And last of all, and what? No one seen him since. If you go back in the Old Testament, there was a king in Israel named Saul. And Saul, the only way he could talk to God, there was one man in earth at that time that God spoke to. His name was Samuel. Two books written about him, 1 and 2 Samuel. This man was dedicated by his mother because of birth. And God would speak to Samuel. He wouldn't even speak to the priest. And when Samuel died, the Lord wasn't speaking to nobody. Why did the devil want Paul dead? Because that's who the Lord's speaking to. And you know what? He put him in prison, and he wrote the glorious prison epistles that set you free. And you know what you got to do? You got to read them. You got to be familiar with them to understand what God's doing. Now watch in verse 8. And last of all, he's seen of me also as one born out of due time. So who saw him? Galatians chapter 1. Now this is the curious part about the book of Galatians as he talks here. If we need to hear the Lord through Peter, there's no need of Paul. But Peter has the words taught to him. That's in John 13 and John 17. We can just go with the words of Peter and we'll get it, we'll understand if that's our words. But instead, verse 11, but I certify you, brethren, that the gospel was preached to me is not after man. It didn't come from Peter. He said, I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. For you have heard of my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it, and profited in the Jews' religion above many mine equal in mine own nation, being more exceeding zealous of the traditions of my fathers. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb, is there a reason for Paul to be born? There's a reason for you to be born. And it's not to have your conversation here. The will of God is to have all men to be saved. There ain't a person in this room, it's not the will of God to be saved. And you cannot have a conversation with God until you are. God here is not a sinner. You cannot and you do not have the right to cry, Abba Father, without salvation. So that means every prayer you make lost is beaten the air. That's why most people pray out loud, because there's another God. And other God makes you think you're saved because prayers get answered. But it ain't the answer of God. That individual I was telling you about to come by the house, I told her, I said, read 1 Corinthians chapter 1. I said, don't you understand that water baptism is Jewish? And I said, if Paul wasn't sent to baptize, I said, your salvation ain't going to be based on feelings. Why do children smoke? Because somebody hands it to them. Why do children drink? Because somebody hands it to them. You can't buy it when you're young, so somebody gives it to you. Why do we take drugs? Because somebody tempts us and hands it to us. So it's man giving man his thing. Right? then what if man tries to offer you what God has? It has to be the Spirit, folks. It can't be man. He can't do it. She said, well, I've done too many things, and I just feel like God might blot me out of the book. And I said, blot you out of the book? I said, could you possibly be reading Revelation? She said, yeah, and I can't understand it. And I said, there's a reason. It's a sealed book, and it's for the service, the 144,000, and it ain't for you. And if God blots you out of the book, how'd you get in it? Folks, you're going to get blotted out. You're in it. Yay? Now watch. Verse 15, but when it pleased God to separate me from my mother's womb and call me by His grace, to reveal what? His Son in me, that I might preach Him among the heathen. Immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. So where's Paul going to preach? To who? The heathen. Where are the heathen at? Well, we're in First Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian, Catholic, Zydeco's, KFC, Papa John's, Toggleville. Where are the heathen at? They're everywhere. Well, who's supposed to reveal it to them? To reveal His Son to me, that I might preach among who? How's the heathen getting the message? Right. Okay. Turn with me to Romans chapter 3. In Romans 3. For a long time, I think Dan thought he wasn't ever going to catch Levi, but he's about as tall as Levi, and that's coming to it. And there for a while, he was a little short of it, but he may spur it up any minute, you know, you never know. Well, you know, what does it mean to be short of something? Did you ever have an extension cord? Did you know an extension cord will always be 1 foot short of where you're going? Whether it ties in a knot, wraps around something, it is a dedicated Murphy's Law that when you get to where you're going, it goes. And you've still got 1,000 feet back there. Maybe it's not in your life, but it's in mine. Every time I use one of them, I come and I'm going, I got 1,000 foot back. What's going on? It's knotted right there. Or I went under something, and it will not let me have that 1 foot. It's just a given in life. Murphy's Law. Well, then, what have I come to? I'm sure of what I got to do. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and what? You read in Exodus, He said, you'll see the glory of God. What was the glory of God they had seen? What came down? Why? They said, well, honey, we're going to die. You brought us out here to starve us to death. We're going to die. Oh, my God, we ain't got no food. We're dying. And what did they see? What was the manna? The glory of God at work. I'm missing you, folks. The glory of God, His ability to supply the need. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. My Lord and Savior, and I hope your Lord and Savior, is hanging on a cross. And He said, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. And then He says, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why? He became what you are. He became what your unrighteousness did. He became like you, who had never been like you. He became what God hated. He became unrighteous. And then by faith He said, Father, into Thy hands I commend my spirit. Faith. Faith. If He gives up His spirit, you know what's going to happen to His body? He died for our sins. Everybody, you awake? Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. That spirit left. He died for our sins. Man told me today that when he got hurt recently, and he was doing something, and it knocked him out. And he said, I realized in my life that if I had died there, it had been most pleasant. Because I went from sin to out, and if that had been it, I wouldn't have suffered. And he said, it would have been great. And that was that we were at the funeral, Brother Moore's funeral. And he said, it would have been great. He said, but it doesn't happen that way always. But he said, I just realized that it's so instantaneous. We talk about that football player that fell off the balcony in Panama City. 17! Already a draft choice for Notre Dame, and already the pros is looking at him. 6'8", 350. One of the best athletes in America. Fell off a balcony, three, boom, instant, dead. Now, he went to Panama to do that. No, he went to get sick drunk. And his life ended right there. And if he's going to Notre Dame, there's a good possibility he didn't go to heaven. 17 years old. You don't plan it. You don't plan to leave this world. But you better know you're going to. You don't get up this morning and say, boy, it's a good day to die. I just can't wait till my heart stops. Man, I'm looking forward to that aneurysm popping. Geez, I just can't wait till that truck runs over me. I am looking forward to that guy shooting me. I just can't hardly wait to drown. You don't plan that, do you? You get up and say, oh, I'm going over there and we're to party at the Gaineses. But you got to drive to the Gaineses. And you get in your car. And here comes a semi that got up this morning and said, oh, it's a good day to die. But it's your day. The Lord knew his day. And he knew when he commended the Spirit to the Father, he's going to die for our sins. Right? Well, what happened in Romans 3:23? Why? Why is he dying for our sins? What did Jesus do in Matthew 3 when he got baptized? What was he doing? Fulfilling all righteousness. Then if he is fulfilling all righteousness, then the cross is the fulfilling of righteousness too, right? Here's a man that knew all, had been tempted in all points, and knew no sin. The just for the unjust. So God makes a transfer. And he takes your unrighteousness and makes him that. And then one day you're born. And one day, one moment in your life, God offers you his righteousness. And he said, are you going to trust me? Are you going to want to see the glory of the Lord? And the glory of the Lord is that he shows you the truth. Didn't he tell Moses, I'll feed him? Then if God's our Savior, you know what he'll do? He'll save you. He'll save you. Look with me in Ezekiel. I feel like I'm failing you, all right? I want you to read Ezekiel with me. This is for those people that are acting righteous. Ezekiel 18. Yes, it's in the Bible. If you ever read the book of Job, you'll understand that those three friends of Job began to discuss with Job, here's why you're having this problem, Job. You've undoubtedly done something that you shouldn't have done, and God's paying you back for it. Then Job would come back and say, I didn't. But in Job's recurrence of saying, I didn't, he kind of got in a bragging mode. Oh, this is, I didn't, and so forth and so on. And he makes a statement in there that God's going to hold him to later on. If we have time, we'll look at it. I want you to read in Ezekiel 18, verse 1. The word of the Lord came unto me again, saying, what mean ye that you use this proverb concerning the land of Israel, saying, the fathers have eaten sour grapes, and the children's teeth are set on edge. As I live, saith the Lord God, you shall not have occasion any more to use this proverb in Israel. Behold, all souls are what? Mine. As the soul of the father, so also the soul of the son is mine. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. But if a man be just and do that which is lawful and right, he had not eaten upon the mountains, neither lift up his eyes to the idols of the house of Israel, neither hath defiled his neighbor's wife, neither hath come near to minstrel women, hath not oppressed any, but hath restored to the debtor his pledge, hath spoiled none by violence, hath given his bread to the hungry, and hath covered the naked with a garment. Man, America's in trouble on this. You understand those things are not to be done to be just. Hello? Back to Andy Griffin. Hello? Do you hear what I said? Did you hear what I read? That's the just. Verse 8, he that hath not given forth upon usury, woo, credit cards, neither taken any increase, that hath not withdrawn his hand from iniquity. That means you don't have any dealings with crookedness. Hello? Have you ever dealt with somebody knowing he's crooked and dealt with him anyway? You ain't never bought a car then, have you? You know, everything I've got's worth nothing, and when they get it, it's worth everything. Isn't that a dealer? That guy offered me the other day $5,000 for my Harley. I said, are you out of your mind? He said, well, I got to make money on both ends. I said, I don't care if you're making money, but you ain't going to make on both ends on me. Now watch. He says, that hath withdrawn his hand from iniquity, hath executed true judgment between... What would the court system be on this? Huh? Hath walked in... Here it comes. Are you reading with me? Hath walked in my... And hath kept my... To deal truly, he is just. He shall surely live, saith the Lord. If his son... if he beget a son that is a... robber, a shedder of blood, and that doeth the like to any one of these things, and that doeth not any of those duties, but even hateth, even hath eaten upon the mountains, and defiled his neighbor's wife, hath oppressed the poor, needy, hath spoiled by violence, hath not restored the pledge, hath lift up his eyes to idols, hath committed abomination, hath given forth money, upon usury, and hath taken increase, shall he then live? He shall not live. He hath done all these abominations, he shall surely die, his blood shall be upon him. Now lo, if he beget a son that seeth all his father's sins, which he hath done, and considereth, and doeth not such like, and he goes on and on for time's sake, verse 18, as for the father, because he cruelly oppressed, spoiled his brother by violence, and did that which is not good among his people, lo, even he shall die in his iniquity. Do you know what iniquity is in the Bible? There's a system been designed to make you think, by you doing this, you have come out of iniquity. And it's called the mystery of iniquity. Folks, if you can come out of your iniquity, Why did Christ die? Are you listening? Iniquity. The mystery of iniquity of our work. A system was designed to make people think by doing this, they're separating themselves from iniquity. But all along, they're still in iniquity. And it's a mystery to them. Now watch verse 19. Yet say ye, why doth not the Son bear the iniquity of the fathers? When the Son hath done that which is lawful and right, and hath kept all my statutes and done them, he shall surely live. That soul that sinneth, it shall die. How many souls sinned? Then what is all souls going to do? But the glory of God came down. And the glory of God is a scepter of righteousness. It measures righteousness. And what have you come short of? The glory of God. Well, what if God measures His righteousness in you? That's what the verse says. Now, what if He puts His righteousness in you? How do you measure up? That's what it's about. He's going to put His righteousness in you. The book of Ecclesiastes says, there is not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. And if you want to read it, you can go to Ecclesiastes today, chapter 7, and read verse 15 through 20 and examine some things there and see what it's talking about. But look in Romans 3. Shut up here. In Romans 3, and watch what he says there. If we're all short of the glory of God, then we're all short of His righteousness. Can you be righteous to your neighbor? Of course you can. Can you be righteous in this world? Of course you can. But you're not righteous in the eyes of God because you have not kept all His ordinances, all His statutes, and all His judgments. You're unrighteous in that point. All right, Romans chapter 3, verse 19. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law. All right, if you were under the law, what do you got to do? You got to keep the whole law, right? Is the law bad or is it spiritual? It wasn't given to the fact that God just wanted to give it so He could actually condemn you. He gave it so you'd learn. You need me. I'm missing you, folks. When He took them out in the wilderness, when they ran out of food, who are they going to have to trust? Then if God saves you, what are you going to have to do? God is able to make all grace abound towards you, having all sufficiency in all things. May abound to every good work. Quit your murmuring. Philippians says, without murmuring and disputing. He used those words, folks. Romans 3:20. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in your sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now, the righteousness of who? Without what? Is manifest, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of who? Even the New King James changes at the end. Perverts that right down the line. You can believe in Jesus all your life and you'll never have His righteousness. It was His righteousness, His faith, His delivery that God wants to impute to you. Otherwise, your measure's short. You ever seen the little deal on the wall where they measure each child as they're growing? And the other little child come up and say, well, when am I ever going to get to that level? I ain't made that yet, but He does. Well, you know what? What if God set a line of measure and you can't get to it? I don't care if you fly in a spaceship. I don't care if you jump. I don't care if you quit sinning right now. You'll never get to that line. That line is the measure of Christ. And that measure is total righteousness. He fulfilled it. And God is pleased. and in God being pleased, you're going to have to trust God that He is pleased. Now, if you trust Him, He'll seal you. And then when He seals you, He's going to take care of you. He delivered you, and He will deliver, and doth deliver. Always. Have you been good at murmuring? Quit your murmuring and enjoy. One of the greatest statements I ever heard was the fact if you come to a point in your life you can't do what you used to do, enjoy the fact you could and did and go on. Do something else. Folks, I love to play basketball. I love to play baseball. I play a little football, but I like basketball and football, baseball, all of them. I couldn't run if I wanted to now. I remember when I did. It may get to the point I can't ride a motorcycle anymore. I'll remember when I did. And I'll find something else. Folks, when you come to a point in your life, things change. You know that? When you're young, you can get drunk and recover. When you get old, it hurts. You can make a fool of yourself when you're young. When you get older, things break. And it hurts. You know what? When you become a man, put away childish things. You don't have to be a fool any longer. We're enough fools as it is. Enjoy what you were allowed to do and look forward to what He will let you do. Look at the things around you, the creation of Almighty God, and enjoy it. Think of all the things in the United States. Everybody always wants to go to Europe and all that. Do you know how many things in the United States you've never seen? I mean, you can go all over the United States and see things you've never seen before and never leave this beautiful country.
Say, so I wish I could get to Europe.
You might not. You might get hung over and not get to come back. Just enjoy what God has given us. What has He given us? His Son died for our sins. He was buried and rose again the third day. And God's satisfied. Why can't we be satisfied? If He's satisfied, I'm satisfied. I trust Him. And if He sealed me, and He said He did, I know He's going to take care of me. That's okay. I haven't been right since Brother Moore died. And the reason is I didn't let myself be right. The voice killed me. When I heard His voice at the funeral, they played it on a CD, and it just killed me. It just literally killed me. And it's embarrassing me to cry. And I just broke down in tears. And you know, and there wasn't nobody really looking at me. You feel like they are. But it was because His voice I heard so many years. And He gave an invitation. Dead and given an invitation. And He just spoke the gospel and He said, if you want to trust the Lord, trust Him now. And they played Hank Williams, How Can You Refuse Him Now? And it just tore me up. And I haven't let myself be right about it. Not that I'm sad He's gone. I praise God. He's resting. And He is, the second He opens His eyes and He'll never know the difference, He'll wake up to His Lord He preached. But so will we. If you have a possibility that if you die right now, today is your day of death, and you're not going to be sure whether you're going to the Lord, let me assure you right now, you're not. Because doubt is not of the Lord. Jesus Christ died for your sins. He was buried and He rose again the third day, and God did that for your salvation. And it's secure, it'll never change, and if you walk without it, you might be like people and die. And you'll go to sleep forever without the Lord. What a choice. Thank you, Lord, for your righteousness. I appreciate you being here.